Well, blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We are in the 19th Psalm, and I was listening to part of it. Excuse me, I'm coughing already, right? You can probably tell that I get a little excited over this subject matter. Okay? I get excited over what God is revealing in these days and in these times. And I think it's something of extreme import. And I mean that, extreme import. And it's the type of thing that people are beginning to see more and more. They're beginning to pay attention and believe the Word of God. They're beginning to pay attention and believe that which they see with their own eyes. And then they start doing a little research on some things and find out, hey, wait a minute, some of this stuff changed appreciably some 500 years ago. Some things happened here. Some stuff has been going on. And it's still a point of inquiry. It's still a point of observation. And it's exploding because we've got the interlinks now and things like that. But the Word itself tells us much that we have ignored. Now, we've looked at the first three verses of this 19th Psalm. So let me read these first three verses and then we'll press on. Remember, this is the Psalm that David wrote. And he says, hey, this is for the choir director. Send it down to him. And it says this: the heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. So that's in the New American Standard right there. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. And there is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. So what he is saying is that the heavens themselves declare the glory of God. And notice, it's heavens plural. And we have yet to define what the heavens are. There's actually a big debate over this, okay? What it might be, what is being referenced here. As I said, I think in the previous episode, you know, for the longest time I said, well, it's this. I'm less dogmatic about that now, okay? I could still be correct about it, but I'm more open to seeing what else the Lord wants to reveal about this. But for now, the heavens declare the glory of God. And the sky, the expanse, the firmament shows his handiwork, declares his handiwork, proclaims the work of his hands. The firmament does. The firmament is a real entity. It is a thing. When you look the word up to see what it's referring to, it refers to expanse. It refers to a hard type of thing. Okay. Now, often people will say, well, this is what the Hebrews think. And they'll describe what the Hebrews thought at the time of the writing of the Old Testament, which is actually a long period of time. And they dismiss it. They say that in a dismissive type of way. I would suggest we not dismiss it. I would suggest that we pay attention. Why? Because the scripture tells us that the day pours forth speech. The day talks to us. Now, there's no speech, there's no words, there's no voice, but the day talks to us. It shows us things. It speaks to us. And night to night reveals knowledge. Night reveals knowledge. Again, without speech, without voice, without words. But there's knowledge to be gleaned. And folks, I think we need to pay attention to this. I really do. What is it that the Lord's trying to reveal in the heavens? And if he's trying to reveal, if he's speaking, if they speak by day, if they reveal knowledge by night, would we not do well to actually pay attention? Actually look up? Actually look and consider and say, Lord, what are you saying through your creation? Now listen to verse 4. Their voice, well, who's there? Speaking of the heavens, that's the context. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the earth. So that's out of the ESV. New American Standard says, their line has gone out through all the earth, and their utterances to the end of the world. So the idea of being, yeah, they don't have a voice, so they don't speak. But what they're saying goes out through all the earth to the end of the world. Then the last part of verse 4, in them, that's in the heavens, He has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course. Let me read the New American Standard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their utterance is to the ends of the world. In them he has placed a tent for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. It rejoices as a strong man to run his course. Some really intriguing things here. King James is very helpful because it says, in them, in the heavens, he set a tabernacle. That's the actual Hebrew word that's being translated, is tabernacle. Now, yeah, a tent, a tabernacle can be a tent, but a tabernacle is a dwelling place. It was actually the sacred dwelling place of Yahweh when they had the tabernacle, Mosaic tabernacle, the Davidic tabernacle, etc. It's a tabernacle. And he's saying that heavens are a tabernacle where he, speaking of the Most High God, has placed the sun. Now, immediately, we're all going to be going and we're going to be thinking exactly what we've been taught in all of our lives about cosmology, about astronomy, about, okay, when we say that God's placed a tent, placed a tabernacle for the sun, we're going to have a picture in our mind what that is. I'm going to say to you over and over and over and over again, what we have been taught is incorrect at best. At worst, it is a brilliant genius of an overt lie that has another agenda attached to it. And that is true also. Maybe we'll talk about some of this stuff as we go along. I just ask that you just pay attention to what's being said here and then be willing to draw into question what you think you may know. Watch what he says in verse 5, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. It rejoices as a strong man to run his course. Let's talk about the sun. That the sun is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. And just brilliance. And he's like a strong man. And he runs his course. The sun has a course. He has a path. The sun has a way that it runs. We get a little hint about that in verse 6. Its rising is from the end of the heavens and its circuit to the end of them. And there is nothing hidden from its heat. Now, just that kind of verse right there will give us a lot of insight if we'll pay attention. It says that the sun's rising is coming forth is from the end of the heavens, plural. And its circuit is to the end of the heavens. That gives us some definition to the boundary of the heavens and what's being referenced here by the psalmist. And then he says this thing, that there is nothing hidden from its heat. Nothing is hidden from the heat of the sun as it rises from one end of the heavens and goes to the other end of the heavens. If nothing else, that makes me think, well, does that mean that something that the world will say, they'll look at a star and say, this star right here is 4 quadrillion light years away. It's some unimaginable distance. Is the heat of the sun impacting that? Is the heat of the sun up on there? I think not. I think there's little hints that we gain all the way through the scriptures. Now, what's interesting, David starts off declaring that the heavens declare the glory of the Lord. And then in verse 7, he's going to start talking about the law of the Lord. And we're going to see him doing this a lot, talking about the law and bringing pictures and examples in here for us. For now, go back and reread these first six verses of Psalm 19. See what the Lord has to say to you. And I'll see you in the next episode.